Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight's show is all about money. And, of course, as we're heading into 2012, the recession isn't looking like it's improving very much, if any at all. And, you know, the outlook, even though government officials and corporations want to paint a prettier picture for us, I do strongly believe, you know, just intuitively, that this is going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. And I just, you know, I really want to do a show on money because that's at the forefront of a lot of people's, you know, minds and what they're worried about these days. And it's just, you know, it's all centered around money and what's going to happen, and people's portfolios are going down, down, down. And, you know, a lot of people are very, very concerned and fearful. And, you know, with this whole shifting that's going on right now, with all the major shifts and energies that are coming through and shifting us on so many levels, it's really a blessing in disguise. This whole recession has really been an eye-opener for so many, and myself included. And I've really, over the past year or so, I try not to watch the news, but just over the past year or so, my view of money has shifted as well. And I don't know if it's from just paying attention here and there to bits and pieces of the news and playing into this whole fear or what's going on, but I'll share a little bit of my personal experiences with money and how my view has shifted over the years. And I do believe that a lot of our money issues stem from the beliefs that we developed when we were children. And, you know, just watching our parents and what, you know, the struggles that they may have had or the, you know, the money issues that they've had, that all influenced us to some degree and shaped us and shaped our view of money. And, you know, I really do believe as well that this recession is bringing us back full circle, bringing us back to basics and taking us away from this whole materialism that we have been under for the past 100 years or so. You know, the 1900s was a time period like no other. We saw so much progress and achievement and accumulation in the materialistic sense. People, you know, were climbing the corporate ladder and making lots of money and achieving great success and inventing great things that we're all benefiting from. But, you know, the side effect of that is that we've become wrapped up in this web of materialism, and it's most prevalent that I can see now in our children. You know, this newer generation that, you know, is just starting to get old enough or become wise enough to understand all the materialism that's around them. Especially, you know, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she, you know, as much as she is very spiritual and very, I almost call her my hippie child because she's very unattached to money per se, but when it comes to the creature comforts of life and all of the materialism that comes with it, she really feels like it's her birthright or that she deserves to have all of those things and, you know, she couldn't imagine a world without it. So I guess there's a flip side to these spiritual children as well because they're being brought up in an age where materialism is just the norm and, you know, it's expected that every 9-year-old girl has a cell phone and a laptop and all of that. And her friends at school all have that and she expects the same. And, you know, of course, we're not giving into that side of things, but you know, it's just interesting to watch these children that they're feeding off the collective consciousness that's around us that, you know, and this is what this whole shift is about with money and the recession is that our outlook has to change. We don't need these things and we really know it, but it's our ego side of things that is yet to let go of that. So I wanted to share a little bit about my own background with money and when, you know, growing up. And, you know, I'm not telling you this because I want to say, woe is me, you know, I came from a poor background. Nothing like that at all. I want to share with you where my beliefs from money came from. And I grew up, you know, with a single mom, and she was on welfare, and, you know, it was a very trying time. My childhood wasn't that great because I was always trying to cover up that we were poor. You know, I'd always try to make excuses or, you know, do things to keep it from view. So, you know, growing up without a lot of money, I developed the fear of lack and lack of money. And so throughout, you know, my childhood, that was always forefront in my mind, you know, oh, do we have enough money this month? Do we have enough money to eat? Do we have enough money for heat? And, you know, many times we ran out of both, you know, heat and food. So, you know, it was a deep-seated fear for me growing up and into my teens and even into my early 20s. And when I got married, you know, in hindsight, I look back and I think, wow, you know, I was still living that poor person syndrome, because when I got married, and my husband also is from a poor background, and both of us, you know, we were both working, you know, he had a great job as a mechanic, and I was working in HR at a bank, and, you know, we were making decent money, and yet we didn't do any of the things that we could have done had we not had that outlook. You know, we didn't travel at all. We didn't, you know, take any vacations together before we had children. And looking back, I realized why we didn't do that, and that's because poor people don't travel, because they can't. And so, you know, we both had that belief that, oh, you know, we're poor, we don't travel. You know, it was kind of a subconscious thing, but that's the main reason why we didn't do that. And so we really lived the poor person lifestyle, even though we weren't poor any longer. And so that continued for me for quite some time. And we spent a lot and we accumulated a lot of stuff. And it was really focused for us on the materialism, especially in our early and mid-20s, because it was that lack, that fear that we weren't going to have enough. So we would accumulate, we would focus on buying, you know, the TVs and the, you know, ATVs and the, you know, all kinds of different things we accumulated over the years, and yet we were still unhappy. We were still, you know, had that fear of money and fear of running out, and that was no way to live. And so recently, and, you know, it did get better over the years, of course, and, you know, I guess with age comes wisdom, and, you know, we stopped accumulating to that degree once we hit, you know, once we had children and once we hit our, you know, late 20s and into our 30s. But really the big shift came for me when this summer I did the cross-country joy journey. And we sold our house in New Brunswick in Canada, Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, and we sold most of our personal belongings, and we set off on the joy journey, and we took a joy jeep, which was provided to us by a sponsor, and we spread joy gems. And I don't know if you're aware of that other project that I did, but that's a whole other side story. But we ended up going all across Canada, stopping at many major cities along the way, and literally we had the joy jeep, our two children, and a 5x8 trailer with what we could fit in it. And it wasn't much. It was just basically our clothes and a few of our possessions, like pictures and things like that we didn't want to get rid of. So we really had nothing. We were starting from scratch. And when we got to Calgary, which was our, I guess, halfway decided upon destination, we had no place to live when we arrived. We had, you know, my husband had no job lined up. And to tell you the truth, as much as it was fun to go across Canada, I was scared to death, you know, not knowing where we were going, how we were going to support ourselves, you know, where we were going to live, especially because we had two children. And, you know, it was scary. And throughout that whole journey, I think I really profoundly shifted in terms of the whole materialism thing. Because now that I've been here for 4 months and we have accumulated a few things, but only the basic necessities, and it's amazing. You know, we look through our house and we think, wow, it's kind of bare, you know, other than the kids' toys and, you know, couch and chairs and things like that, we really don't have a lot of stuff anymore. And it's so freeing, so great. And even as of late, you know, I was invited on CTV and I was thinking, you know, the old me was saying, oh my goodness, I have to go out and buy a new outfit, I have to get new shoes and get my hair done and this and that. And then I stopped myself and I thought, why would I need to do that? You know, I already have enough clothes, and my hair is fine. You know, I got a cut, you know, a month or so ago. It's perfectly fine. So at the end of the day, I was thinking, you know what? I really don't want to go to the mall. I don't want to buy new things. I just have no desire to do so. So I ended up piecing together something that I had in my closet already, went on CTV, aced the interview, which, you know, I think I did great, and no one else called me on the fact that I was wearing something that I had originally wore somewhere else. You know, it really shifted my perspective, the whole purging all of my materialistic things and being left with nothing. It really felt, in the beginning, like a whole lot of fear, but in the end, it felt like I was free. So, you know, that's my experience with money, and I think a lot of this shift that we're going through right now, a lot of people are rehashing those childhood and early adulthood beliefs about money, and they're really coming front and center to be dealt with and pushed, you know, pushed past. Because I think in order to get out of this recession alive, I think all of us are going to have to face our fears about money and face our beliefs about money, regardless of what kind of background we had. I think we all have our issues with money. And, you know, it really has to change. Because I think next year's a 5-year. And, of course, I'm a numerologist, so I always talk in numbers. But next year's a 5-year. And it's going to be a bit of a hippie kind of energy. And I call it a hippie energy, as in, you know, the hippie movement, because 5 is an erratic energy, and it's very unpredictable energy where anything kind of goes. So, and it's very emotionally charged as well. So there's going to be a lot of ups and downs next year, a lot of cleansing, a lot of purging of old emotions, old beliefs, old patterns. So really, next year is about hitting rock bottom. And I kind of envision the whole money thing, the money crisis, as like us being drug addicts in a way, with money and us hitting rock bottom, because that's really what it's going to take, I think, to wake us up and really, you know, be stripped clean. So, you know, based on next year's energy, I think a lot of people are going to come past the fear a little bit, because this year is a little bit conservative. It's a 4-year, it's, you know, very practical, very grounded, you know, we're just kind of at the peak of it. And I think it's just, you know, it's just coming over the edge of the mountain, and next year we're kind of going to roll down the hill, so to speak, and it's going to be fast, and it's going to be fierce, and it's going to be unrelenting. So there's going to be a lot of shifting, a lot of stuff coming at us, and I just think the countries that are really struggling, and I think Canada included, I know Canada's kind of a little bit better off than some of the other countries that are hitting with this recession, but you know, I don't think that they're going to be saved by any stretch of the means. But I think the U.S. and Europe are really going to be the ones that we really see in the media that's going to really wake us up and really say, wow, you know, we are in a crisis. We are needing to shift our beliefs. There's no other choice now. There's, you know, we don't have a choice. Let me see. There was a couple points I wanted to make as well. And, you know, right now I'd like to put it out to the audience. If there's anyone listening who would like to call in and share their story about money and their belief patterns and, you know, what they believe we're going to be expecting for this recession as we head into 2012, I'd love to hear from you. You can call in to the toll-free number at 1-877-296-0345. Or you can also log in to chat on Blog Talk Radio and send me a question, and I'll definitely read it on air. So, yeah, there's a couple things that I wanted to go through, and let me just see here. I'm just looking at my notes to see. Yeah, you know, I really think that sorry for the pause. I was just kind of reading my notes and going through, but I really want to get through some of these points that I have. And I really do think that the whole mass consciousness that we have as a collective is more so of lack than anything else. And, of course, the recession shows this, that, you know, we're worried about lack and we're worried about, you know, not having enough. And this has been building for so long that we're literally manifesting this recession. We, you know, our collective beliefs, our collective consciousness is saying, what if we don't have enough? What if? And that's what's creating this. And it's for our own good. You know, we're manifesting this because it's meant to be. And, you know, I believe there are no mistakes, there are no accidents, and we're right where we need to be. Because in order to be you know, this whole new age that people say we are on the cusp of, and we're moving into the age of Aquarius, and it's supposed to be this beautiful, peaceful, serene time, you know, where everyone's harmonious and everyone is blissfully happy. Well, I think we're a far cry off from that, and in order to get there, I think money is one of those huge, huge hurdles. I mean, the hurdle. If, you know, I think our whole society is built around money. It's, you know, everything is, it boils down to money and lack thereof. So, you know, it really is about bottoming out with this. And I hate to say it, but, you know, I like to observe what's going on, and I'm excited about it in a way. You know, I hate to see people lose their houses and lose, you know, foreclosures happening and people losing their portfolios, but I'm excited at the same time because I really think that this is so necessary and people need to shed that, you know, that whole thing that we need money, because we really don't. You know, I think that what we think about, we bring about, and it's kind of like, you know, the invention of a computer. It's like before the invention of a computer, if someone were to bring that up, they would think, well, that's impossible. You know, that would never come to be. That's just science fiction. And then, you know, people say, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, we need money. There's no possible way that the world could exist without money. And, you know, I kind of think that maybe, you know, call me naive or call me, you know, innocent and childlike, but I really do firmly believe that someday we may not need money, and there may be an existence here on Earth where money is no more. And I think, you know, there was a time when there was no money, and I think that we will get back to that, and I think that, you know, we'll get back to basics. And, you know, there's some times in my life where I find myself imagining or yearning to be like the Little House on the Prairie days, and it's so funny because, you know, at the same time I'm thinking, why would I want that for myself? Why would I want to be, you know, so basic and so without anything and living so simply when I can have all of these creature comforts? But sometimes I do. I find myself yearning for that. So if there's anyone out there, I'd really love to chat with you. You know, I'm sitting here babbling on, and I see there are, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in the chat, and no one's sending a comment. Come on, people. Let's see what you have to say about money. I'd love to hear it because, you know, I'm not the only opinion out there, and I don't pretend to know everything, and I don't pretend to, you know, it's my beliefs and my opinions, and, you know, I'm sharing them, but I'd love to hear other people's opinions as well. I wanted to kind of shift gears as well while I'm waiting to have someone send something, anything. I'd like to talk about the winds that have been happening lately, and I know Calgary has had some winds, and I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and we've had hurricane-force winds lately, and, you know, there were a lot of houses that lost shingles, lost siding, windows were broken, you know, and we're here with very little. We don't have any access to water. There wouldn't be any chance of a hurricane, you know, hitting us full force because we're not near the coast. So it was very, very unusual to see that kind of wind come through. And then I hear that Los Angeles as well was hit with the same winds. And I read on the news as well that there were more winds in other cities like that. Very, very strong winds. And I was thinking, isn't that interesting? Because it's almost like the winds of change are literally blowing through. And it's funny because after that day, I felt a bit of a cleansing happening. I felt like literally, you know, and I was out in that wind that day with my children, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. It's, you know, incredible. And it felt so freeing. And so it was literally like as I saw debris blowing around and you know, bags blowing against fences and garbage, you know, accumulating, it felt like things were blowing away. It was like a shift was coming through. And, you know, when the seasons change and when fall comes in and, you know, we do feel that sense of renewed hope and excitement about the future. And I always say that fall is like the unofficial new year. And it was kind of like that feeling that things were, you know, blowing through and the winds of change were coming. So it was really neat to see that. And to know that there were other cities involved and that apparently the weather the weather woman said there's more to come in other cities. So it's very, very interesting as we approach 2012, because we're really kind of peaking right now. We're really peaking with the shifting and just feeling really tough, like we're wading through water or wading through mud even. It just feels very tough right now, very low. A lot of people are very, very, very low feeling right now. So hopefully this shift has shifted new energy in, and as we come into 2012, I'm hoping that we'll start feeling that five and really feeling like we can start spreading our wings and using that wind of change to really soar. You know, I saw a good quote today. It was a really great quote, and I want to thank Chaz Nixon on Facebook for posting this today, because I wanted to read it to you. And it has a lot to do with this whole recession thing I was talking about, and money as well, because, you know, it pinpoints what the point I was trying to make, I guess. One of the points is, this is the quote, and it's from Gary Zukav, who, of course, is a famous, you know, speaker and author, and he does a lot of great writing, and I've read some of his books. But the quote is, "For the first time, human evolution requires conscious choice, specifically your conscious choice. Only you can choose to use your emotions, including the most painful, to grow spiritually instead of masking them with obsessive thoughts, compulsive actions, and addictive behaviors." So I really loved that. I thought, wow, you know, how synchronistic that I would see that today before this show. And I made it a point to copy it down and paste it to read it to you, because I thought, it is so true, you know. It was almost like the previous generations were on autopilot, you know, in terms of money and career and all of that. It was just expected that you either followed in the family footsteps, or, you know, you were something that your parents said you should be, and you went to college and you got a good job and you climbed the corporate ladder. And now we're at the stage where we don't have to do all of those things, and it's kind of scary with all of these choices and all of these conscious choices that we get to make. And of course, money is one of them. You know, before, like I say, it was kind of like autopilot, where you were expected to get an RSP and you were expected to, you know, make a certain salary, and you did, because there were jobs and there were places to work, and, you know, there wasn't as much lack as there is now. And so I think this whole recession as well is forcing us to make conscious choices. And so, you know, we're getting to this place where we are recognizing that we are indeed the creators of our own reality, unlike before when we didn't recognize that. We weren't sure of that, and, you know, we read New Age books that hinted at the fact that we were creators of our own reality, but it was more or less science fiction to us, really. And now we're at that place where, like computers, which were science fiction in the beginning, are now a reality, and now here we are at the brink of conscious choice, you know, knowing that and living that every day of our lives. So it is scary, you know, it's a whole new way of being and a whole new way of life, to know that you have your life in the palm of your own hand and you can affect change in your own life every day, every moment. So I still see there are many guests in the chat and no one is sending me a comment. So I really like, you know, money's a touchy subject, and I know that. And I know, you know, sharing intimate details about your opinions about money and your experiences about money, it seems to be a touchy subject for a lot of people. And I'd like to share a little bit more about my own background with money, just to make everyone feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, I think that people have misconceptions about, you know, people who are in the media, or like myself, who are public speakers that, you know, have been in the media a little bit, and, you know, they all assume that they've had an easy go and they've made lots of money and they're living a cushion of, you know, a cushy lifestyle, and it's great and it's wonderful. But, you know, it wasn't always the case for me, and I've really struggled to get where I am, and I'm still kind of working my way into my purpose and my path. And, you know, back when I was talking about my husband and I and collecting all of those materialistic things and just feeling like we needed to have things and buy more things, and it was all about things and collecting assets and, you know, accumulation. And, you know, right around that time that the whole 9/11 thing hit in 2001, we ended up accumulating so much debt and living paycheck to paycheck, literally, because we had, you know, we had great jobs, but we spent every cent because we were looking to gather stuff because we were fearful of lack. So we got ourselves into this place where we had so much debt and so much overhead costs, so to speak, that my husband lost his job for 6 months temporarily during that whole 9/11 thing because everyone panicked, of course. Businesses were, you know, not getting the customers that they normally did, and things were slow. So my husband got laid off for 6 months, and we could not sustain our living. You know, we could not sustain that level of accumulation any longer. And so we ended up filing for bankruptcy. And that, again, was another turning point for us. That was really kind of an awakening. It's like, wow, you know, we really got ourselves into a giant mess. And, you know, that was a major shifting point for us for sure. And then, you know, we had our first child. And, you know, of course, they take precedence and they take priority. And so for me, I think that was my cornerstone. That was my turning point. And it's only been getting better since then for me. And like I say, I'm at the point now, after shedding everything, that I feel like I don't need stuff anymore. And it feels so great. And I can only hope the same for so many people out there that are really struggling with that, that are really feeling like they need the stuff to be happy. And, you know, there are so many people out there that are struggling with that. And, you know, so what if you lose, you know, your car or what have you in this recession? You know, so what? There are other ways. There are other means. And, you know, it's just stuff. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we'll be. So I guess everyone's shy tonight. No one's wanting to talk. We've got about 3 minutes left. If you still wanted to either call in or give me a question via chat, I will definitely bring it on air. But in the meantime, I'd like to talk a little bit about the upcoming show tonight, which I'm so excited about. It's the Angel Connection on Authentic You Radio. And it's the host is CJ Martez, and she is kind of like the angel lady, you know, move over Dorian Virtue, right? And I think it's going to be a really great show. And she, you know, she's going to help you connect with your angels, and, you know, it's all things angelic on the show. And I'm really excited to have her on the network and, you know, as a new host. And she's going to be having Sunny Dawn Johnston on in January, which I'm also excited about because she has a new book called Invoking the Archangels. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great show. And, you know, in terms of this whole recession, I think we really need to be calling on the angels more and releasing our problems to the angels, because I've had such great luck with doing that. Whenever I, you know, have an issue or I'm struggling and, you know, I'm not seeing any solution in sight, I always release it to the angels. And within hours or, you know, minutes sometimes, I will see the answer, or the answer will come to me in some form. And, you know, it's very quick when you release control of things. And I think that's the whole another message about this recession is the control factor. You know, money is the controlling thing. And, you know, when it has its grip on you, you feel like you have the desire to control as well. So it is a control thing. And, you know, the more we release to the angels, the more we let it go, the less it can affect us. And there's another thing I wanted to mention, too, before we go. I had a friend tell me once that he always prospered in a recession because he never believed it had anything to do with him. And he's an older gentleman. You know, he's been through some of the recessions we've had in the past. And, you know, it's so true. And, you know, I guess, if we believe it's affecting us, it is affecting us. And if, you know, it's all about perception. And so, you know, that's the final message I'd like to leave with you, is that it's your perception that has to change about money. It's really how you perceive it. And if we can change that collectively, I think we'll be able to navigate through this recession and come out with a radically different view on money and a radically different view of the world, which is absolutely necessary to move forward. So shift your perception, shift your life, really. That's the message. So thank you guys for tuning in, and, you know, try not to be so shy next time. I'd really love to hear from you. Next week, I haven't picked a topic yet, so it'll be a surprise topic, but definitely do tune in the next 30 minutes. At 6 o'clock, I think it's 6 o'clock Pacific, yes, the Angel Connection will be airing, so please do tune in. I'd love to have you talk with CJ and get connected to your angels. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Good night.